It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's always good to be for all the preacher brethren and the laymen. Amen. Everybody that's here, thank you for being here this morning. I always count it a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. So good to see so many of the preacher brethren friends that we consider such wonderful friends. It's good to see some of you again. We hadn't seen you in quite a while, but we're glad that you're here. Amen. I want to jump right into the message this morning. I want you to pray for us. And Brother Height told me I had 10 minutes. So we'll see how that goes. Amen. We'll see how that goes. I want to say that a lot of things I might have preached this morning and haven't been able to get away from the message. This is a message that I have been told has been preached. It's an old message. And it's been preached by preachers. But just for the record, I don't know that I need to say this or not, but I've never heard it preached. I've never heard another preacher preach, so I don't know which way they went with it. Brother Rich says, if it's new, it's not true, and if it's true, it's not new. Amen. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9, and read 9 through 11 and jump down to verse 28. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40. Living above the snake line. Living above the snake line. Amen. Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 9. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are young. Verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as angels. Yeah. Amen. As eagles, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Sure would like to help somebody this morning. How many going to pray for me? Would you stretch your hand this way? Heavenly Father, we just love you, praise you, magnify your name. We just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, and your love. God, we ask for your overshadowing power. Lord, we just pray for your holy, holy anointing, God, this morning. Let's ask that you would use us and touch us, God. Move in this place, and we'll love you and praise you for all that you do in Jesus' lovely name. And the church said, amen. Living above the snake line. Naturalists tell of an invisible line. Real, definite, unchangeable. It is fixed at a given altitude above sea level, known as the snake line. We are told that in certain mountainous areas of New England, one of the first questions of a prospective persecutor buyer of a farm would likely be, is this farm above the snake line? below that line, there are deadly reptiles endangering man and beast. Above that line, I am told that no snake can live. Oh, I hope we can get high this morning. He didn't get us high before he gave it to me, but I hope we can get there. So that we can get away from those deadly reptiles. Somebody say amen. Below that line, an unsuspecting child, even an adult, might fall victim to one of these reptiles. Above it, you can move about untroubled in a secure dwelling. Amen. The upward atmosphere and the altitude is kept safe, not by a visible defense, not by a man-made barrier, but by immutable mandate of the living God, dating back to the creation when God created the reptile world, in which God said, in effect, hitherto you can come, but you can't live above here. You can't come beyond this point. No, Father, I'd like for the Holy Ghost to come in this sanctuary this morning and say, devil, you can't come in here. You can come this far, but no farther. Can somebody say amen? You see, security was purely a matter of altitude. If you pitch your camp below the snake line, you're inviting possible disaster. But if you say, I want to pitch my camp, spiritually walk with the Lord above the snake line, you can be safe this morning. Below the soul is never secure against the harassments constantly of the devil, crafty reptile, that deceiver, destroyer souls. But above that snake line, Satan cannot come in his full force. Oh yes, below there is spiritual deception. Amen. There's spiritual poverty. There is weariness. There is exhaustion. There is collapse. Above there is spiritual replenishment. There's spiritual abundance. There's security. There's endurance. Great God, we can get down and get weary and get weaker and weaker. We can say, I think I'll go above the snake line. I think I'll find a place of refreshing and strength and the presence of God. The upward altitude is suggested by Paul's reference to the blessedness of sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And his exhortation is, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. I'm telling you, there's a place of victory where you can get rid of a lot of junk that we live in, because we live below the snake line. Somebody lift your hand and love him this morning. Are you breathing? Amen. The prophet Isaiah speaks of God as dwelling in the high and holy places, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. There, near to the heart of God, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That text is an invitation to you. It's an invitation to me. Amen. Just let me say, I don't think it's a sin to get down. I think it's a sin to stay down. Preachers get down. Members get down. But don't stay down. I want to give you an invitation don't stay down. There's times in your life that you're going to be broadsided. Things that hit you totally unexpected, you were not ready for. Amen? But you don't have to stay down. There is an invitation from our text not to merely spend an hour. No. Not to just an hour of prayer above the spiritual snake line, but you can come and pitch your tent and abide. Waiting upon the Lord means more than an occasional climb to the upper attitude or altitude for the fleeting visit, an occasion coming up for air, an occasional flight to the upper altitude for refuge. Instead, the text calls us, you can camp there. You can make it your dwelling place. Great God, you can come and settle in like you were in your mother's arms. There is a heavenly Father that still loves you in this crazy world, in this perplexed time. There is a place, there is a place that you can get to, that some things just roll off and you keep going. Amen. The text suggests that there are two levels in the Christian life. You can live and attempt to live in one or the other. It draws our attention to the results that you can expect if you live in one or the other. You see, the bottom line is this morning, you're either above the snake line or you're below the snake line. Either you're down or you're up. And it's determined by your choice. Amen. But may I encourage you and invite you to the security of the upward altitude. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles. Here is the promise of more strength to endure the strains, the temptations, the irritations of life. All those inclinations of the flesh, those creeping things like fear, amen, or like hate, or envy, or wrath, impurity, those that strive in the lowlands, they disappear in the sunlight of His heavenly presence when you move on up above the snake line. Somebody lift your hand and love Him this morning. The way to deal with sin is to let the light of heaven into the soul. The way to acquire Christian graces is not strive for them one at a time. Just open your heart to the Holy Ghost. Oh, if you just open your heart to the Holy Ghost, the fruit of the Spirit will come in all ninefold. Amen. Talking about that love and that joy and that long-suffering, that gentleness and that goodness and faith, meekness and that temperance. Those breakdowns which are so common in the lowlands. Amen. They're a problem in the lowlands. They won't be a problem above the snake line. Amen. Amen, amen. Though the others are falling exhausted by the wayside, if you're above the snake line, they shall run and not be weary. Others are exhausted, falling down. Oh yes, breaking down, but you'll walk and not faint. Here is the promise of more calmness of soul in the time of trial. Oh, the strong do not tremble. You only tremble when you get weak. There's a place of strength. There's a place you can be strong. Amen. Every one of us has been weak. But I'm telling you, climb on up and get above the snake line and get strong, fortified by continuous renewal of the soul. You're adequate for anything the devil throws your way. The Lord
is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Oh yes, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. I'm telling you, there is a walk, there is a place where you can live above the snake line, and you can know that God is by your side. I'm not telling you the devil will leave you alone, but his old tricks that work in the lowland won't work when you get up the mountainside and get a hold of God. Oh, hallelujah. Woo.
Amen. Amen. It is not our lack. Or is it not our lack of serenity that testifies against us? We're below. There's a place you can get above and there'll be a serenity about you. You know what I found out, Brother Webb? I'm a slow learner. But I found out I cannot have faith and worry at the same time. I can't have peace and turmoil at the same time. Oh, Lamochosatai. Every pastor can relate to this. I don't know how many times in the last years the devil says, here it comes. It's going to blow up now. It's going to go. They're all going to leave you. I got to believe in him. I mean, you're running 80 and now you're down to 52. Yeah. Maybe this is it. Maybe I am going to kill the church. Amen. Great God. Hello. You get down in the lowlands, you get to listening. I'm telling you what, I almost called you recently. So I thought I was having a nervous breakdown. I just want to talk to you and your wife, you know, how'd you get through? I'd go, and every Wednesday afternoon, panic would fall on me. Cause I gotta go to church tonight. Try to lift them up and preach. There wasn't too much serenity going on. I've sat at the keyboard. I prayed for years for a piano player. And God's kind of deaf. He hadn't heard me. I sat at the piano or the keyboard there and felt like I was going to fall off in the floor. Just panic. Just fear. Huh? Well, where's so-and-so? They're not here. They go down the road too? Hello? Huh? You know what I found out? Anytime I feel the fear and the anxiety, I said, Lord, you didn't give me that. And I began to climb. I began to pray. I began to ask God, lift me above the snake line. Don't let me listen to the lies of the devil. And I got to the place that stinking devil come by the web and said, there it is. It's going to blow. It's going to go. You know what I said? Let her blow. Let her blow. I'm tired of living in torment. Let her go. Me and God, I'll be here to pick up the pieces. I'm telling you, there's a place you can get the devil off of your shoulder. There's a place you can overcome worry. There's a place you can overcome fear. There's a place that you can overcome the tactics.
tactics of the devil against you, keeping you tore up, keeping you worried all the time. Hey, God, sometimes you just need to say, let her blow, let her blow. There's still a God in heaven that's gonna take care of it, gonna see me through. And God, you'll pick the pieces up and make it better after a while. In total commitment, nothing less is complete serenity found. You can't find this place above the snake line. You can't find this place of serenity until you're totally committed to God. And that God can throw you a curveball. God do anything He wants to do. He's done a lot of things I didn't think He'd do. Hello. Lest I offend somebody. Hope I don't. But He's done a lot of things to me I didn't think He'd do. Amen. Amen. Amen, Brother Meekum. I ain't got too many dollars I can give out for amens here. Hello. But when I get committed to God, totally, there is a serenity. And it only comes in total commitment. God, this ain't my church. Hello? It's not my house. Amen. Not my ministry. It's yours, and you can do anything you want to do with it. Amen. Lord, have a little ministry, 501c, that we have youth camp and camp meeting under at Seaside Holdings Ministries. And things have come about that I never thought would come about. For a while I thought maybe somebody on the board was going to steal my ministry. And I said, Lord, it's yours. If you want them to have it, they can have it. I built this retirement house, and God said, after living there 8 years and thought I'd retire, I mean, we made 36-inch doors for wheelchairs so we could get, we was going to retire there. One level, no stairs. Going to retire there. I'm 60 years old. God said, put it on the market. Well, hello. And so, you know, you go from 80 to 52, you know, that kind of affects the finances too. So, we'll need a house payment anyway. Time to downsize. Lord, you know what you're doing. All right? So, you know, people leave and get upset at you and say, well, you know, Brother Meekum probably made money on the side. When he sold church property. And I'm thinking, here I am trying to sell my house so I can reduce my own salary. And they accuse me of taking kickbacks. It really hurts when it comes from a person that you build them a place in your church to live in. Amen. I said, God, sound like you're going to take my ministry, Eastside. Church is going to fall apart. Going to lose my church. Have my house gone. You know what? I got tired of feeling sorry for myself. I had this pity party, and the only two people that showed up were me and the devil. Hello. I was in the lowlands, Brother Height. I've never had nerves problems, but my nerves was going all to pieces. Hello, I'm probably being real personal, but I'm trying to help somebody this morning. Things weren't looking too good. But I made up my mind. That stinking devil come around again and said, let's have another pity party. I said, let her blow. When you get totally committed and give it all to God, you ain't got nothing to lose. When it's God's, you can't lose. Ain't mine anyway. I said, church ain't mine. The ministry ain't mine. The house ain't mine. I don't have nothing to lose. God, I don't know where you're taking me, but just help me to live above the snake line and keep my sanity and serenity. Amen. Here is a promise of freedom from struggle. You see, the strong don't struggle. There's a better place to win our battles than in the arena and area of combat with the enemy. Most of our struggles sometimes and most of our failures come from the fact that we ain't living where we need to live. Oh, we come in, my, I slew the lion. I sowed the lion. Read your Bible. And 99% of the time when somebody met a lion, it was because they were out of God's will, because they disobeyed God. Oh, you may have slew the lion, but why did you have to slay the lion? Why did you have to fight that battle? Well, I'm trying to preach to somebody here this morning. There's a promise of strength that you don't have to fight everything that comes by. I'm telling you, sometimes we're just battling where we don't need to be battling. If we wasn't there, we wouldn't meet the lion. We wouldn't go through that. I'm trying to help somebody to tell you, you can get full of the Holy Ghost and live above the snake line and have victory in your soul. And quit some struggles. Amen. The outcome of the testing is determined by the altitude, not the latitude. Amen. Oh, but you don't know where I live. I want to tell you, there were saints in the wicked city of Ephesus. Hello? There were sinners in the Garden of Eden. Huh? In a given place, one person can find that serenity while another is kept in constant aggravation, fighting, struggling. Amen. One lives in the high altitude where it is well with my soul. The other is living below the snake line where you living this morning. I ain't fussing at you this morning trying to help somebody. Amen. A little girl came in from working in the flower garden. Soiled hands, dress shoes. She made a refreshing observation. Mom, I know why flowers grow. They want to get up out of the dirt. We just need to grow. Sometimes we're just immature. Sometimes we're just not fully developed. Sometimes we're down yonder, and we need to grow up and get out of the dirt. Oh, God. Oh, God. You got side doors, ain't you? Okay. Do they lead outside? Okay. Okay. There was a famous airman about the close of World War One. He landed his frail craft in Khobar, Arabia. Here a large rat managed to get on his airplane. The airman became aware of the presence of the rat when he was in midair. He heard the sound of gnawing behind him. He knew this is disaster. If he chews those hydraulic lines in two, if he chews that wiring in line, I'm dead. What did he do? He aimed that plane to the high altitude, remembering he had learned in school that reptiles cannot live above a certain altitude. Amen. He nosed that plane upward until breathing was difficult for him, and at length he descended to a lower level, and the gnawing had ceased, and landing he found the rat had died. Oh, can I preach to somebody here this morning? If you'll nose your plane up, that rat will die. That besetting sin, that continuous temptation that keeps coming back, that thing, that thing that is your weakest point of entry into your soul,
If you'll nose that plane up, I want to tell you this morning, the rat to die. First place, oh, I'm not telling you you'll be free from temptation. I'm not telling you that the devil will quit. But I'm telling you a lot of junk, a lot of things that we spend our time on will roll off our back like water on a duck's back. Wait on the Lord. You shall renew your strength. But what about those who do not wait on the Lord? Those that do not renew their strength. Those that don't mount up as eagles. There's a grim alternative. Amen. There is the insecurity of living below the snake line. Amen. The eagle is well aware of the dangers of the lowlands. While he may hunt for a living in the lowlands, he builds his nest in the high places, in the high cliffs, amen, beyond the reach of the invasion of reptiles, amen. He does not needlessly expose himself. He does not spend his leisure time defending his life against hazards from which the upper altitude keeps him safe. I want to tell you, sometimes we don't have any more victory than we have because of where we're living, how we're living. Amen. But that eagle understands, I may have to go down there, but I don't have to abide down there. I don't have to live down there. Oh, somebody help me preach this morning. The Christian needs to realize the danger of the low altitude. Amen. You see, a man's associations generally reveal his spiritual altitude and his attitude. Amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. A man's associations may determine his conduct, his character, his destiny. Amen. When a good boy gets into bad company, he ceases to be a good boy. I said, when a good girl gets in bad company, she ceases to be a good girl. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Even Peter could not maintain his integrity while sitting among the enemies of Christ, denied his Lord. A man's associations may be his making or his undoing. Hear me this morning. Where are you living? I said, where are you living? Are you above the snake line or are you below?
Old association above, below the snake line. You got to sever them. How many preacher could testify watching people get in and slowly they just drift back out because they don't cut the old associations. They stay in the lowlands. One man had been redeemed from a life of drunkenness and sin. He set an inspiring example. Christian living more than a year he was in, but he fell back into his former loathsome state. Everybody was astonished, dismayed. But those who knew the whole truth, they would have not been surprised if they had known he was still parking his car every day in the same old spot, walking past the open door of the same saloon that he used to go into. It had been his downfall. In a moment of weakness, one more drink, he was back to his old life. I have this very real concern that God sent me by this morning to warn somebody in this sanctuary. There's a snake waiting on you. There is a snake waiting on you. The devil has waited years to bring this plot to fruition. And he's got a snake waiting on you. And the only hope you have, you better pray much before you leave here and get above the snake line. Get above the snake line. I don't know how you do. I don't know if you want to pray now or wait after Brother Barnett. I felt like I'd be amiss if I didn't call you to the altar. I haven't preached to impress you. I'm not running for anything. But everything I've said today is because I have a haunting confidence that there's a snake waiting on someone. He's ready to strike. He's that lion behind the door. He's that monster behind the door. He's ready to pounce. You hear this preacher, I don't claim to be a prophet, but I'm telling you, the devil's ready to pounce on somebody.
That's right.
You know you've been weak.
Yeah.
You know what you're struggling with. And there's a snake ready to strike. I would plead with you this morning. If somebody comes with a little bit of music, if that's all right, can you just spend a few minutes before we go to the next part of the message and pray? Would you come right now? Come on. Come on.
Walking.